Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm on, when I'm home.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Patreon or ad-free, whatever, ad-free on Patreon or wherever else you get your podcast on Friday. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today?
Kenny, I'm doing well. Can't complain. Finished last night my What's Going Down for the next issue of Inside the Ropes magazine. So, I'm no distractions.
It's always a good time of the month, right? Because you kind of get a little bit of time to relax when it's done.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it can be a really tough to write that piece, but yesterday's wasn't too bad. Don't know why that was, but yesterday's was all right. So anyway, you've been sent it, Kenny, so you're going to have a look at it after we finish this recording.
I am, yeah. I'll be having a look. But the thing I've got to say, it's there are sometimes there's you've got to really look and there's a few things, but very rarely is there any of yours.
You thought you got me on What's Going Down this month. Was something in there that wasn't right? What's this?
Well, the thing is, I'm actually quite dumb. So sometimes I'll read something and go, that doesn't make sense to me, but it might make sense to everybody else.
Listen, it made sense to Matt Riddle when he said it.
Well, then, there you go.
That's not a bad thing that it doesn't make sense to you.
Right, plenty of news and stuff to get into today. We should talk about the big news coming out last night. The worst-kept secret in wrestling, Mercedes Moné's AEW debut. I actually stayed up and watched it last night because, obviously, for the next 2.5 weeks, we are in that time where, we're an hour. America have gone an hour ahead, but we've not. So. Yeah. Instead of the, Raw, SmackDown, AEW being on at 1 a.m., they're on at midnight. So I was hoping that she was going to be the first segment, and she was. She came out, massive reaction. AEW got to be pretty happy with the number of the attendance last night. I think they ended up with just about 10,000 people at the TD Garden in Boston. She came out. She looked like $1 million. Her saying is the CEO. That's her.
That's it. She's not the boss anymore. She's the CEO.
There you go. Another. I mean, it's fun. They've got to be pretty happy based on last night, just kind of the reaction to her and the fact that people are really into it. She did an angle at the end of the show, which kind of, I guess, means that she might be going after the TBS title initially.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, there's Willow and Riho and then Julia Hart ran in and then Money attacked Julia Hart, laid her out. So that does seem like her first match. So it looks like Julia's losing that title. I mean, she's had it for a while. So yeah, the running looked good at the end, and Julia Hart took her finisher well. So yeah, she was, bookends. She was the start of the show, the end of the show. So yeah, you can't fault it really. I mean, you really can. I mean, it's what happens next. I mean, it's always the case, isn't it? She's a WWE creation who was developed by them and became a huge star in their system. And now, just like in WCW in the 1990s, AEW has purchased an ex-WWE property. She's a ready-made star, and it's what they do with her next, isn't it, that matters. Of course, she was going to provoke a huge response because she's a huge star as a result of her WWE activities and other stuff she's done in her life. Obviously, New Japan as well, but New Japan's niche. WWE's big time, that's mainstream. So,
She did. I mean, she did do well in her. I mean, obviously, New Japan's nowhere near as big, but I mean, she did do well in her stuff in New Japan. And I think having the kind of having her do the run at the end that kind of involves Willow, who she obviously lost the title to in New Japan. You can kind of tell that story. I mean, they also on the show had Deonna Purrazzo hint that she's going to have a tag team partner to face Mariah May and Toni Storm next week. Which I assume that's going to be the return of Britt Baker because. She is. They spent a lot of time building her up to kind of be the top woman there, and she's not been around for. I mean, when was the last time Britt Baker was around? I can't remember.
it's a long time. Was she around before or after Adam Cole did his ankle in? I
Ooh.
can't remember.
The last match she had. Let me just cage match it up here. Cage match, which makes my life easier. So September 2023. Oh yeah, she faced Chris Statlander on Collision. That was a pretty good match, if I remember correctly, the Statlander Britt Baker match. But that was September last year. So it's been 7 months.
Coming up 6 months, basically, isn't it?
So but, if they get her back as well, and I mean the thing is. They obviously gave the women the main event spot, which was because Mercedes Moné was there.
Yes.
So, but the proof's going to be in the pudding. It's like, we've seen this before in AEW, WWE, where you do something for a bit of lip service, but it's actually what's going to happen down the line that's going to determine whether it's going to be a sort of organic success. But yeah, big start for Mercedes, and we'll see what the future brings for her in AEW. Lots of other stuff on the go. So Tony Khan recently fired Kevin Kelly from AEW.
Yes.
And obviously there was kind of some drama there because he had kind of basically badmouthed Ian Riccoboni publicly, which, Ian Riccoboni just seems like the nicest man. So Tony Khan has axed Kevin Kelly. Do you think it's a loss for AEW to not have Kevin Kelly in Collision? What do you make of big
Not really. I don't really think any of the AEW announcers are very interesting. So he's just interchangeable. And, the fact that he's no longer there, it's not something I would notice. So,
He's also
but
got that thing where he was getting quite political on his social media.
well, that's never a good idea because you're always going to alienate one section of the fan base and one section of society. Just avoid politics. It's just, just talk about wrestling. And doesn't matter whose side you're on, it really doesn't. And but I mean, to me, if you shouldn't be knocking other members of your team, going back to the original question, and it's like, it's just not what you do. If you got a problem with someone on the team, sort it out privately. And like Kevin Kelly's been around a very long time. He's not somebody who's grown up with social media. He's got to be about my age, maybe slightly younger. And it's like, and he's worked for how many companies has he worked for? I mean, he's been around wrestling for decades. So this was very
He's 56. That's
50, it was actually slightly older than F. Martin.
56.
So, I mean, this was really, I don't know, just really unprofessional and just really unnecessary, I think is the word I'm seeking, Kenny. I mean, it's just why knock the guy in public? Just do it privately if you've got a problem. I mean, that's the way you handle things if you're a professional, isn't it?
It also, it's one of those things where, because I mean. Look, we might not know the full story, whether it's true or not, but I mean, Riccoboni seemed quite hurt by the whole thing. you know, he actually ended up going public and kind of saying, you know, he's badmouthed me privately a few times and tried to not get me a job and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, it's just not a good look for, you know, it's one thing when wrestlers have drama. I mean, you know, people, fans do kind of feed off wrestler drama, as we know. But when you're an announcer, you probably shouldn't be the cause of the drama.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the voice of reason. You're supposed to be the grown-up in the room. You know, and the child's squabbling. I mean, that's essentially what's been happening here. So, I mean, I don't blame Tony Khan for sacking him. I mean, you shouldn't be behaving like that. And Kevin Kelly's been around long enough to know better. So, yeah, I mean, we all fall out with people. You know, we all say and think, well, maybe we don't say, we all think things about certain people and like, oh, why have they done that? But you keep it to yourself. You don't express it on social media. So, yeah, I mean.
Because it's like, so, there's sometimes where like, you know, I mean, I would never do, it's just never something I would do. But I'm sure if I was to think in my brain about somebody who I'd have an issue with, right, based on a personal thing that's happened between me and a person, right, if I was to just tweet about it with no, you know, no context to it, then, you know, that other person potentially has got kind of, you know, a glowing recommendation. So, and I don't have a person in mind, by the way, before people think I'm trying to like subtly get around it. But if I did, you know, and I was to, you know, then just bash them online, I would look like the bad guy because nobody understands what's going on or nobody's been privy to it. So it just makes you look bad. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, Kevin Kelly, I don't think he particularly... I've got to admit, I do think Riccoboni is a bit better from my watching. I think Riccoboni has got more of a fire to do the job than Kevin Kelly does. I think when Kevin Kelly's doing it, it has felt a bit strained when he's on commentary.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would talk about how, you know, he was really good in New Japan. And I would listen to him in AEW going, he just sounds like everybody else. I don't know anything unique from him. So,
yeah. It's probably the product that's had that effect on him. So,
well, you know, if you're a professional, it doesn't matter. You're paid to do a job. Sound enthusiastic. You're paid
especially Collision. I mean, he's probably thinking, this is my Saturday night. I could be down the pub, you know, I could be doing something else. I'm doing this.
Oh, God. Right, well, let's move on. Some news which I didn't really want to have to talk about, but unfortunately it's in the news, so we have to. There are some reports. Brian Alvarez and Wrestling Observer Live had said that there are, in the last few days, there have been moves regarding Brock Lesnar about bringing him back to WWE. And, I mean, this just feels like a bad move, only because if Lesnar has been... Well, let's try and be fair to Lesnar, right? If he has not done anything wrong, and that's been proven,
yes,
you need to kind of explain that an investigation has been done. Because if you should bring the guy back, then what message does that send to, you know, people who've been through, you know, abuse or people who have been... It's just not a great look, but what do you make of the idea of them potentially bringing him back pretty soon?
I mean... This doesn't sound right to me because, I mean, I wrote about this in the last issue of the magazine. I mean, I spent a long time writing that piece. It's very tricky to write because he's obviously not, he wasn't named in the lawsuit. It was the Wall Street Journal who named him. And he hasn't made a public comment about this. So it's really a kind of a tricky one to talk about. There was some report that he'd been added to the roster page again. Well, that wasn't true because he was never removed from the roster page. I know this because when I wrote that piece for the magazine last month, I checked. It's what you do when you're writing a story. So he's always been on the roster page. So I guess there's always been that glimmer of hope for him or for his fans that he might one day return. And it's possible that he will. I mean, I don't see how they can bring him back because they made such a production out of, you know, creating this zero tolerance, you know, environment backstage and flushing out all the, you know, getting rid of all the bad apples and just letting the public know that it's a new day in the company and this type of behavior will never be tolerated again and blah, 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 blah. They've said that, haven't they? You know, they've made, was it Ari Emanuel, I think, has said that, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Or words to that effect, that he's not going to, none of this is going to occur or again under his watch. So if they were to bring Lesnar back, that would fly in the face of everything they're seeking to achieve here. And also, look at all the comments that most of the people who work for the company have made publicly about this situation. And people are furious. And if Lesnar were to return, I think this would be devastating for locker room morale. I think there'd be people quitting. I think there'd be all sorts of problems there backstage. So I don't know. I'm having a hard time believing this one, Kenny, because of what he has been accused of, or that name who the Wall Street Journal said was him, what he has been accused of, and admittedly, obviously, nothing actually happened, physically, allegedly, anyway, nothing physically happened. But I mean, to me, he's, and unless he can clear his name, I don't see how he can return. I just don't see how it's possible. I think it would just be a PR disaster if they were to bring him back. That's my view on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I will say the report did say that, Alvarez goes on to say, I should have regarded Brock. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be back. I have no idea, but I wouldn't bring him back. But I can tell you there have been inquiries made, and what that means, we'll wait and see. So some people are trying to bring him back, but hopefully cooler heads prevail, like we were saying. And, I hope that somebody at the, I don't go to the WrestleMania press conference or to the WWE press conferences. I've sort of talked about that before because, I know what happened to Alex McCarthy when he was made to acknowledge his tribal chief, and the idea of that makes me want to be sick. So I choose to not put myself in that situation
That's it.
because I just, I'm very up for playing along and having fun and all that, but I just think that's, for me personally, a bridge that I just don't want to go down. But
A bridge too far, Kenny.
bridge too far. But if you're in that room, I hope that one of the people in the room at WrestleMania weekend asks Triple H, asks Paul Levesque, can you talk about Brock Lesnar?
He's not going to talk about Brock Lesnar.
But what you want to do is you want to get it out there, so it's in a public forum. So if he, whether he denies it, says anything, doesn't say anything, somebody's asked the question publicly,
Yeah.
so that, if they were bringing him back 2 nights later, it's a bad look for there to be a no comment, and then he's back kind of thing. So you
Yeah.
almost want to kind of put it into the ether that, we remember that he's in this lawsuit.
The only way he can come back is if he can clear his name, right? And if he can do that, he can return. So, I mean, it's on Lesnar, really. If he can actually prove that what he's been accused of is untrue, then he can return. And if he can, I don't see how he can. And I just think people will savage them. And they will, but they'll be absolutely hammered online if they bring him back. And WWE know this. They know this. Of course they're going to be. They'll be slaughtered online. So I just don't see this. I don't see this happening unless Lesnar can provide some sort of proof, that he is not the person that he has been accused of being. It's that simple.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, because the problem that he's going to have in that situation is that there are text messages from Brock Lesnar in that lawsuit, which again, these things have to be verified to be in a lawsuit. They can't just, I can't just say Finn text me saying he's going to kill me, and then nobody checks up if Finn actually sent that message. It has to be checked. And Finn did not message me saying that, obviously. But, you know, you have to check these things. So it's going to be a case of, I don't really know how he clears his name.
No, well, exactly. But, I mean, that's not for us to get into. That's not for us to discuss, is it?
But what I mean is, you know...
That's up to him. That's up to him. He needs to do that before he can return. Otherwise, yeah, they'll be hammered online. And rightly so as well. We'll hammer him here.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think that what I'm meaning by sort of bringing that up is, I think it's going to be a tough order to clear his name. But we'll see if he manages to do it. WWE have announced a few more people for the Hall of Fame. We obviously talked before about Paul Heyman and Bill Nakano being in there. But I just want to run through the rest of the names and just get your quick thoughts on each of the people going in. So we've got the US Express, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, which will make Barry Windham a two-time Hall of Famer. Thoughts on them going in?
Well, I mean, to me, that was one of the least, probably, the apart from, you know, post-91, when he was all washed up, probably the least interesting part of Windham's career was his US Express days in WWF. I mean, he was great in Florida, had that amazing run in Crockett Promotions, you know, as an opponent of the Four Horsemen and then a member of the Four Horsemen. To me, I don't really understand. I mean, why put him in again? I mean, Windham's a great worker, and like he was a headliner when he was against a headliner. So he was somebody whose star was basically being held up by his opponent, who was usually a bigger star than him. But to me, he wasn't a true headliner. So for him to go in twice just kind of reeks of nepotism, I'm afraid. So I don't agree with this induction at all, Kenny.
For the celebrity, when we've got Muhammad Ali.
Well, I talked about this on Tuesday, and, you know, obviously I've reflected on that now, Kenny. And on one hand, yeah, you know, it's like, well, what did he really do in wrestling? But it's Muhammad Ali. And he's like the sportsman of the century. And what can you say? I mean, if they want to put him in, I've changed my mind. That's all right by me. And, you know, he was, obviously the Inoki match was a total disaster, but it was legendary in its own way. He actually did a really funny angle with Gorilla Monsoon. After which Monsoon said, that guy doesn't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. I think he actually, that was the first time he used that phrase. Probably wasn't the first time actually, but I think he used that phrase after the angle with Ali. And then Ali did stuff in New Japan. He did the thing in Mid-South where Jim Roberts refused to sell his punch. And he was a big part of the hype for WrestleMania, for the first WrestleMania. So it's Ali. So, of course, he deserves to go in. I've changed my mind. I've done a U-turn, Kenny.
There you go. You've done a few U-turns recently, Finn, but I'm kidding. Thunderbolt Patterson is next, who is someone that a lot of people are not aware of, who are maybe, you know, younger fans. Thunderbolt Patterson, is there a case for him?
Well, there is, yeah, absolutely. And I was actually watching some of the stuff he did in Georgia. I did a little thing on Ole Anderson in the latest issue. Mm-hmm. And watching some of the stuff he did down there. So, I mean, he was very much an activist. You know, he was a bit of a controversial figure. But, I mean, people who want to make changes and improve things for people, oftentimes they, you know, meet resistance from people who don't want things to change. So, I mean, you've got to give Thunderbolt T-Bolt credit. I mean, he was a real trailblazer. You know, he made a lot of noise. And, you know, I don't know whether he was that great in the ring, but he was like, he was a star. Everyone in the business back then knew who he was. And he was somebody that really did, you know, fight for people, fight for minorities in pro wrestling. And they obviously had a terrible time back in the 70s and even into the 80s and even later, let's be honest. So, you know, I mean, I think he deserves to be recognised because he is, I think, an important historical figure. He's the sort of guy you'd have to do. I don't really want to talk about him any great depth here, but he was somebody that made a difference. So, you know, I can't object to that. I know people didn't like him, but I mean, people who want to change things and get things done are often not popular with certain other people who don't want things to change.
I mean, you only have to really look at, and I don't know enough about it to fully go into it, but just from what I've seen and what I've read, you know, for somebody, you know, a black performer in that era, you know, you watch movies and you kind of see the depiction of racism in the 70s and the 80s, and you're kind of seeing the Hollywood version, which is probably a bit less gritty than it really is in real life. So
yeah.
Bad enough in movies. So you can only imagine what it was for somebody like him, you know, all the kind of thing, you know, all the kind of names that he probably had to listen to, and the slurs that he probably had to listen to.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him.
Especially in the South, you know, where he was, you know, a star.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, things were still bad in the 90s, you know, in a lot of circles in pro wrestling. So, you know, Thunderbolt Patterson, he was somebody that, you know, he was somebody who changed things and took on the system to an extent. And, you know, I think he deserves to be recognized for that. So, yeah, I'm definitely endorse that induction.
And he's still with us. He's 82, so assuming he'll be there at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So, yeah, I think that could be a good speech, actually. You know, in this kind of modern time, it could be a really good speech of him kind of, you know, getting to stand up there and make that kind of talk to people. And then the latest one, which has not been officially announced, but it's everywhere, so it's going to happen. And I don't know if nepotism is at play here, Finn, but you tell me, Leah Maivia, the Rock's grandmother,
right,
is going to be an inductee into the Hall of Fame. Now, could that be anything to do with the Rock's recent, you know, backstage position?
Well, I wouldn't like to say, Kenny. I mean, has the Rock been inducted yet?
No.
So, I mean, it's a bit odd, isn't it? So, I mean, I guess this year, anything. Listen, Rock's main event, the first night of WrestleMania. We know he's going to be involved in night two of WrestleMania, the main event between Cody and Roman Reigns. So maybe he thinks, well, listen, if we're going to the Hall of Fame as well, it's going to be Rock overload. It's going to be overkill, and people are going to be sick of me before the show starts. So, I mean, I understand why he's not going in this year. Maybe it'll be next year. Well, she was like a promoter, wasn't she, in Hawaii?
Yeah, and she famously was, according to The Rock, I guess, you know, she was famously treated quite badly by Shawn Michaels, which led to a bit of dissension between Rock and Michaels in the 90s, late 90s.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, Rock did witness that. He was backstage, and Shawn Michaels, I can't remember whether he's been brought in as the Rockers. I guess he would have been at that point. I think he was, you know, really misbehaving backstage. And that created a lot of tension between Rock and Michaels, which I think existed right up until the 2000s. I'm not exactly sure when they sorted it out. I think it was after Shawn, you know, had his change of heart. You know, he's awakening, Kenny. And Shawn turned over a new leaf and became a new man in the 2000s. So I think they did sort it out in the end. But that was the reason why that match never happened. You know, Shawn and Rock never... There was all sorts of problems backstage. And Rock also was seen as somebody who was politically associated with Bret Hart backstage. And obviously, Shawn and Bret were big rivals. Everyone knows about that. So that also just intensified the bad feeling between them. But I think it's safe to say, Kenny, that the nepotism might be at work here. It just might be. And yeah, she was a promoter, and obviously she was involved in the business and everything. And I mean, if I was doing a Hall of Fame, I don't think she would be in it, if I'm honest.
No, I think, you know, if it was up to me, I mean, now his grandfather and his dad are in, who obviously were notable names.
Yeah.
Now his grandmother's in. So, I mean, maybe his ex-wife, Danny's going to go into it, you know, for her contributions to Rock Incorporated.
That's it. They're all going in before the guy who should have gone in first.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Their dog will go into the legacy wing, you know.
That's...
I mean, we've talked about this before. You and I think are on the same page with this one, but I think... So if Bray Wyatt's going in, I get the connection to the US Express of them going in as well. I think if it's up to me, I would really like to see Demolition in there, because they were a big WWF act. And, you know, they kind of got unfairly pigeonholed by people as sort of Road Warrior knockoffs. But,
well, they were, weren't they, Kenny? Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, aesthetically they were. But, I mean, in terms of, like, what they did in the ring, I think they were in WWF. I really liked them when I was a kid, and I still think some of their matches really hold up. So I think that they're not just, you know, Road Warrior knockoffs. I mean, I still think about that SummerSlam 92 at Three Falls match with the Hart Foundation in 1990. Yeah. I think it's an excellent match that's worthy of people's time if they want to.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I mean, you know, Bill Eadie, before he became Demolition Axe, he was mass superstar. He was a star everywhere. You know, in mm-hmm. Japan, huge star in Georgia. You know, it was actually Hulk Hogan's first opponent after Hogan won the WWF title. Hogan actually went on a New Japan tour after he beat Iron Sheik and then came back and, you know, had some matches with mass superstar on the house shows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Bill Eadie was a huge star. He should have been in there. He should be in there. If you're going to put someone in there twice, he deserves to go in twice, once as Demolition and once as mass superstar, as Bill Eadie. But of course, there was the lawsuit, wasn't there, between Demolition over the rights to the name or whatever it was. Yeah. It's one of those sort of things that's kind of shrouded it almost in secrecy. I remember answering it in Power Slam one time and I had to speak to someone who knew Bill Eadie to get the details. I can't exactly remember what they are because it was so long ago, but there was some sort of lawsuit over the Demolition name or royalties or something like that. And Bill Eadie, I believe, won. And he's never been back since. So, but to me, it's like, that's ancient history now. I mean, he might not be around this time next year. Put Demolition in the Hall of Fame. I mean, people would be, I think that would really, really be an uplifting moment for people. And it would also be one of those moments where people would say, listen, they're not being petty about this. You know, they've moved on. They're doing the right thing for the fans. You know, that's what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, I was watching when I was doing work the other day. I tend to, in March, stick on like an old WrestleMania in the background while I'm just doing work. And I had WrestleMania 38 on from 2022. And the Hall of Fame class came out and Vader got such a big reaction. You just thought, you could have put him in when he was alive.
Yeah.
You know, so with Demolition, put the people in when they're still here. It's better for the induction itself. It's better for the person who's going in or the people going in. So go for it. Do it next year. But
I think it's crazy that it's not happening this year. So especially, you know, it would be because people always say, well, it must be Vince that's blocking that one. And now Vince is not there anymore. This is Paul Levesque's opportunity to let the world know, listen, I'm in charge now. You know, on petty grudges from the old days, you know, they've been swept aside. We're not going to allow those to get in the way of doing the right thing for business and the right thing for the audience.
Yes. Listen, very last thing I want to bring up to you is Jesse Ventura could be heading to the White House because he is potentially going to be, he's in the mix to be the running mate of Robert F. Kennedy, who is the controversial independent candidate that is running for president this year. I was watching WrestleMania 20 in preparation for our recording on Monday about it.
Oh, right.
I've totally forgotten about the segment where Jesse Ventura interviews Donald Trump. And at that point, Jesse was talking about we should get a wrestler in the White House in 2008. And at that point, you were going, if you told me one of these two was going to be president in 12 years, I don't think I would have guessed Donald Trump. But Jesse Ventura, he's still at it. He's still trying to get into the White House after all these years. God loves a trier, Finn. That's what I say.
Well, yeah, that's right. So what was he? Mayor of Brooklyn Park, wasn't he? And then he was governor of Minnesota, right? 98, yes. Yeah. I believe that was.
Yep.
And mayor of Brooklyn Park, I think that was 1990 or 1991. I think that's correct. I mean, there was a lot of talk at the time when he became a governor because it was such a huge story, wasn't it? I remember writing about it in Power Slam and everyone was talking about it. It's like, wow, this guy's become governor. You know, what's he going to do next? And there was all these speculation that he was going to then go on to the Senate or run for the White House or whatever. And I think it was just, he just had one term as governor. I believe that's right.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But it probably didn't help his case when he came back to wrestling as a referee.
Well, of course not. No, of course. Yeah, 99. SummerSlam, he was involved. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of people really knocked him for that because, like, well, he's using his position to make money. That was, God knows what people were actually saying in the Minnesota area. But I mean, I think I wasn't really paying attention to politics back then. And I was, to be honest with you, a lot happier as a result when I wasn't. I mean, you know, he's getting on a bit. I mean, obviously, he's younger than Biden. You know, it's funny, isn't it? You say, oh, he's getting on a bit. And then you look at Joe and you just think, my God.
He's younger than the two candidates that are running for president this year.
So. That's it. It makes you feel better about what's going on in the UK, doesn't it?
So you turn on any American network, you feel better about what's going on in the UK.
Oh, my God, you just do, don't you? So, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that an independent... Obviously, he's not going to be elected, the independent candidate, is he? He's just not going to be.
And also, an independent... As much as it would be, you know, an independent candidate's not going to win.
No.
It's not going to happen. You know, that's... Independents could maybe get that sort of 10% who are in the middle, who could be swayed either way.
Absolutely. Kind of almost a bit like that Reform party in our country, who are kind of a protest for, aren't they? Or the Lib Dems, they're kind of a protest for as well.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, it could sway things by you've got people who wouldn't ordinarily vote Dem or Republican who then vote for the independent candidate, and then that lets someone in who otherwise wouldn't have been elected, right? So, I mean, in a way, they're quite influential, aren't they, these, you know, third party or whatever, these, you know, outsider candidates?
They are. But, I mean, Jesse, we appreciate your attempt at keeping yourself in the political eye. It gives us something to talk about, so...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's probably just doing it for his own entertainment. Because, I mean, how old is he going to be now? He's going to be in his 70s, isn't he?
Jesse is. Let me just check.
Be very late 60s?
72 he is.
72.
72. So, yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but...
He's like a junior, isn't he, compared to Joe? And Donald Trump, who's obviously knocking on as well. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just doing it for his own amusement. But I mean,
I've got to say, I interviewed Ventura. So a couple of years ago, before the first For Love of Wrestling convention, they were doing a Comic Con in Manchester, and I asked if there was any way I could interview Jesse Ventura. And Ollie and I drove down at our own expense because I just thought, when am I ever going to get the chance to talk to him? And I'm so glad I did it because he was so nice when I spoke to him. You know, he was just like, he immediately knew I was Scottish, which sounds like a low bar of praise, but I mean, Americans sometimes are like, what part of Ireland are you from? Scotland. he was a total sweetheart. It did really well. And, I was very happy I got a chance to speak to him. So
yeah, I mean, I'd love to interview him one day. I mean, he was the colour guy when I started watching WWF in 1988, and I was always highly entertained by him. And he was somebody that I wouldn't say he made me a fan, because there was lots of factors that made me a fan of American wrestling. But he was like, I'd grown up with Kent Walton, you know, and then he was Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon, or Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon, and you're like, wow, these guys are entertaining. They're larger than life. They're charismatic. They're like, you know, these guys are just like walking cartoon characters come to life. So I was always highly entertained by him. I read a lot of his autobiography, Jesse's autobiography, and I was very, very disappointed by it, Kenny. And I just felt like there was almost nothing on pro wrestling in it. And I thought that was, and it wasn't a particularly thick autobiography either. And I thought, you know, there's so much you could have told us about the business, and you've decided not to. And it just felt like pro wrestling wasn't really that important to him, which I found weird, because obviously that was the platform that made him a, you know, celebrity, and then enabled him to reach out to people and then get elected as mayor and then governor. So, I mean, I'd love to interview him one day. It's obviously not going to happen now. And he probably wouldn't want to talk in depth about pro wrestling with me. Why would he? I mean, that's, you know...
I think if he doesn't get in, I mean, there might be something he ends up doing press for or something. So, I mean, it's not impossible. It's not the most... I think it's probably more likely that you would interview Jesse Ventura than you and Russo going for round two.
Well, yes. Yes.
But yeah, well, anyway, listen, that's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back soon with more. Look out on Patreon for the WrestleMania 20 review with us and Sondra. Look out for, you know, our Overrun. and plenty of other stuff. So I want to thank you for all your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.